message. Amen.
All right. My daughter was going to come, but her boss wouldn't let her off to work, and I'm her boss, so it wouldn't work to get her off. So, but I'm so glad to be here. It's always a privilege. I was in town a few months ago, and I called the preacher, and I said, I'm in town. Can we get together and play golf? And the preacher and Brother Joe, another man, we went and played golf together. And Brother Joe, where is he still in here? There he is back in the back. He cheats like crazy. And the bad thing about it is he cheats and he's still bad. But in fact, he got a hole in one, got a zero. He got a hole in one and wrote a zero in his scorecard. So that's not good. But we had a great time together, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate the friendship. Brother Joe is going to the PGA Tour. He's leaving and going to the PGA Tour. He's got tickets, so he's going to it. But we had a great time, and I appreciate coming here. This is always a blessing to me. I want to ask Trish to stand up. My wife couldn't come, so I brought Trish with me. It's a friend down the street. I appreciate so much her being here. I'm so glad that she could be with me tonight. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of James, chapter number 2. James, chapter number 2. Let's look in the Word of God. I'm going to look at one verse tonight. James, chapter number 2. Let's stand together. And it's not necessarily in respect of God's Word, even though I respect it with all my heart, but it's the last time you're going to get to stand for a while. So I want you to get the blood going to your legs again. And about halfway through, we'll wake up Brother Joe and we'll start again. All right. James chapter number 2. Look, if you would, at verse number 3. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Let's read that verse together. Let's all read together. Ready? Read. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now let's all read it again. This time read it out loud. Did I read the wrong verse? James chapter 2 and verse 23. What did I say? Okay. Don't listen to me. James chapter 2 and verse 23. Let's read it out together now. Here we go. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, a real friend. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us and meet our needs. I pray you'd help us tonight. Thank you for what we've heard. I thank you, Lord, for Brother Fred Adams and his folks and what a blessing they were. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to be mindful of you tonight. Lord, I thank you so much for doing all that you've done for us. Pray you'll bless this place. Thank you for this beautiful church, what you've done in this place, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you remember last year, the air conditioner broke, and I think it was the hottest day in the history of the universe was last year. And so we had the air was broken that night, and I should have changed the message and preached on hell, but we had a good service anyway. James chapter number 2, the Bible says that it talks about Abraham was the friend of God. Now, I want to share some things with you. I thought about it. I've had several best friends all my life. My first best friend was my dog named King. That was my best friend. I mean, when I was a boy, had a dog named King. He was my absolute best friend till he bit me. And up until that point, he was my best friend. Now, and I even then forgave him, and we became friends again. They say that a man and his dog is his what? Is his best friend. A man's best friend is his dog. That's what they say. I was talking to a fellow about that one time, and I said, now, my best friend is my wife. He said, oh, no. He said, I didn't get a wife. He said, I got a dog. He said, that's my best friend. He said, now, think about this. He said, the dog, he said, the later you get home, the more excited your dog is to see you. I thought, man, he's got a point there. He said, dogs love it when you leave things lying around on the floor. He said, unlike my wife, he said, my dog loves it when I leave. He said, dogs love to ride in the back of pickup trucks. I thought, man, I like that. He said, dogs love to go hunting and fishing. I thought, man, I've got to get me a dog. I'm telling you what. He said, my dog has never woke me up in the middle of the night and said, if I died, would you get another dog? He said, not one time. He said, to prove it, if you'll take your wife and your dog and lock them up in the trunk of your car for an hour in the heat of the day and then open up the trunk and see which one is happiest to see you. He said, one of them will lick your hand, the other one will rip your arm off at the shoulder. How would you like it if your best friend, that the best friend that you had was Mark Kirsch? Mark Kirsch in 2008 was deemed the strongest man in the world. He was deemed the strongest man in the world because of the fact that he pulled a 767 Boeing jet 100 feet in 39 seconds. They put a rope around his waist and they started that thing. You think, well, it had wheels on it. How do you get 205,000 pounds started rolling? And that man was deemed the strongest man in the world because he pulled a jet that weighed 205,000 pounds. He pulled it 100 feet in 39 seconds. My thought is, how do you stop that thing? I guess you take my mother-in-law and chalk her wheels, I guess. I don't know, but 205,000 pounds. He was deemed the strongest man in the world. How would you like to have him as your best friend? You walk down the hall and somebody bumps into you, and Mark said, he bothered you? He said, yeah, he bumped into me. Could you imagine how that would be? Have your best friend to be the strongest man in the world. Now think about this. What if your best friend was Grigory Perelman? In 2010, Grigory Perelman was a Russian mathematician, and he was deemed the smartest man in all the world because of his contributions to geometry. They said that Grigory Perelman was the absolute smartest guy in the world, and they said, this guy is so smart. Now, I thought geometry was circles and squares and triangles, but they said because of his contributions to geometry, he was deemed the smartest man in all the world. What a great thought. How would you like to be sitting next to him in class? You say, well, it'd be wrong to ask him a question in class. That's cheating. Not when it's your best friend. Those are Georgia rules, and I don't know how you do in Tennessee. But could you imagine your very best friend being the smartest guy in the world? Ask him anything. He could tell you what you need to know. He could give you answers. He's got discernment, discretion, and he's smart, and he's wise. Can you imagine having the strongest man in the world, Mark Kirsch, being your best friend, or the smartest guy in the world, Grigory Perelman, being your best friend? I wouldn't mind either one of those, but there's a third one I'd love to have. There's a guy named Carlos Slim. Carlos Slim is a Mexican tycoon that bought up all of the telecom communications in Mexico. They said last year, Bill Gates was worth $50 billion. Now that's more money than I make. We're talking about Brother Brandon money now. We're getting up there. $50 billion. But Carlos Slim was deemed to have earned or was worth $53.5 billion. I don't know how many zeros that is. I don't have any idea. All I know, that's close to what my wife spends at Walmart weekly. By the way, that's my dream job one day. My dream job, when it's all said and done, I want to be a greeter at Walmart. That's what I want to be. I want to stand there, and you greet people, and you folks come in, lady comes in and says, how you doing, ma'am? Bring that back. Yes, ma'am. I thought you'd gotten a bigger size the first time. You'd have got it all right. But anyway, I've asked my wife to have me buried in the parking lot of Walmart so that she'll come visit me three times a week. But could you imagine having your best friend being Carlos Slim? Guys, with a $53.5 billion, could you imagine saying, hey, you got $5 I can borrow? Man, I hope so. $53.5 billion. Can you imagine? Now, I ask you this. Do you know of anyone stronger than God? No. Do you know of anyone smarter than God? In all the technology that we have and everything that we have, the Bible says that the wisdom of man is foolishness with God. Did you know that all the stuff that you buy, the latest, greatest, in 6 weeks, it's obsolete? And they say that we're already light years past what we already have right now. They're just waiting to get the money off the shelves for what they've already got. It's unbelievable. You think about it, it was just 20 years ago, nobody had a cell phone. I mean, now I was in an airport the other day and I told my wife, I said, look around you. There was probably 200 people standing around. Every one of them was on a phone. They were going and just doing things. And now you can be across the world and they have front-facing camera phones that you can look at a phone, and while somebody's looking at you across the world, you can talk to them and you can see each other. It's unbelievable, the technology that we have. And the Bible says to God, that's absolute foolishness. What God knows and what God can do. Amen. You know of anybody stronger than God? Do you know of anybody smarter than God? I don't think so. Do you know of anybody that's richer than God? No. You know of anybody that's got more money than God's got? Not at all. I mean, God absolutely has more money than we ever thought about. And yet the Bible says, see, Abraham had tapped into something right here. The Bible said, and Abraham was called the friend of God. Now, it doesn't tell us who called him that. Obviously, God thought it because God put it in the Word of God for us to have for the rest of all of eternity. And the Bible says, I read this morning in Psalm 119, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And we're going to have a copy of it when we get there. And I'm telling you, the Word of God is so clear, so pure. And God put it in there that Abraham was his friend. Man, I'm telling you what I thought about on the way up here. I began to pray and I said, Lord, what could I do to help this church? I'm telling you, the greatest thing that you could do for this preacher, the greatest thing you could do for this church, the greatest thing you could do for our country. Our country's in trouble right now. You know what we need to do? And by the way, the president is not the answer. Conservatism does not exalt a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. And so we're in trouble, but if we had some folks that really got a hold of this verse and became the friend of God, what it would do for our church, what it would do for our community, what it would do for our country, if we just had some folks that became the friend of God. Now, I got to thinking about it. Now, there's some great verses in the Bible about friendship. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend loveth at all times. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. But Amnon had a friend. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. The Bible says that Jesus was the friend of sinners. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was confronted by Judas, he looked at him and he said, friend. Abraham was called the friend of God. He tapped into a resource here. He had something that nobody else had even thought about and talked about. I got to thinking about this. I want to give you three or four things tonight. What real friendship is based on? Now, I'll tell you right now, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, my best friend is my wife right over there. I love her with all my heart. She loves me. But I want her to love Jesus more than she loves me. She wants me to love Jesus more than I love her. She wants me to put Him first. And I want her to put Him first because I know if she loves Him first and most, she won't have any problem loving this whole country boy. Amen. But you know what I found out? Real friendship is based on four things. Real friendship. Now you think about it. Who's your best friend right now? My best friend right now is my wife. Now I want to ask you something. Real friendship, number one, is based on truth. Notice what the Bible says in verse 23. And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith Abraham believed God. And the Scripture was fulfilled. Now, I'm telling you what, I'm just old-fashioned. I believe that this old-fashioned King James Bible is the Word of God. I don't need anything else, don't want anything else. I believe I have the perfect Word of God. And the Bible says here that real friendship is based on truth. Years ago, had a man that I had won to Christ. I had been trying to win him to Christ. I won him to Christ. He came to my office and I couldn't get him saved. I couldn't get him lost to get him saved. He told me he was saved. He had all the answers right. Well, one day he knocked on my door. I said, come in. When he opened the door up, I said, come in. He opened the door and he stood there and his chin was quivering. And I said, Gary, I know why you're here. You want to be saved, don't you? He said, yes, sir, I want to be saved. And he broke down. We got on our knees in my office and I won him and his wife to Christ in my office. They were the first person I ever baptized. I was still a youth director. I baptized them both, like to drown both of them. I tried my best. I baptized one fellow one time that was about 6'7". I didn't know, it was about 6'5", I guess. And I didn't, you know, just knew at it. I didn't realize it. I went to lay him down. When I laid him down to baptize him, I didn't allow enough room. And his head laid on the steps. His head didn't go in the water. So I laid him down. I just took the other hand and splashed water in his face. Trying to get him, I didn't know. My brother-in-law baptized a one-legged man at his church that came in on the bus route. He baptized him. And as he took him down, his leg shot out from under him. He said, I'd like to drown him. He said his name was Bob. But I baptized Gary and his wife when they got saved. I was glad they got saved because, I mean, I like to send them on when I baptized them. I just, you know, they were slipping and sliding and I was trying to get them up and they were trying to get out. Well, time went on and my wife, this has been 25 years ago, my wife and I, we didn't have anything. We were praying, asking God to give us enough money to have a good Christmas for our girls. and for ourselves. We're just in back then. Well, about a week before Christmas, we're praying every day that God would provide for us. Gary gave me a card. Walking out, he said, "Preacher, I got something for you." And he handed me a card. I put it in the fly leaf of my Bible and forgot about it. I was reading my Bible every day. This was about, I guess, a week and a half, 2 weeks before Christmas. And I read my Bible. One day I picked up my Bible and I almost dropped it. When I dropped it, that card fell out. And I said, "Oh, there's that card." And I forgot about it. I'd had it for about a week. When I opened up that card, I opened it up and a $100 bill fell out of that card. Now back then, 25 years ago, $100 was like $1,000. Now it's like 10, but back then it was like $1,000. I couldn't believe it. My prayers had been answered, a $100 bill. When I opened up the card, there were four more $100 bills, five $100 bills. And in that card it said, "Preacher, thank you for leading me to Jesus." I was so excited and so glad. I called my wife. I said, "Sweetheart, Trish, come quick. Come quick. I wanted to share this with my best friend." She said, "What is it?" I said, "Look, Gary gave us this money for being saved. There's three $100 bills right here." Which I didn't lie, there were three $100 bills. I said, "Hun, just to be fair, I'm going to give one to you, one to me, and one to the girls." I was telling that the other day in the church, and she told me, she said, "You owe me $200 with interest." See, women don't get hysterical, they get historical. You know something? Real friendship is based on truth. I mean, when we really get truthful with God, and see, we sometimes try to hide back, and God knows our hearts, He knows our thoughts, but real friendship is based on truth. Secondly, real friendship is based on trust. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, "Abraham believed God." The Bible says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up from the dead." He said, God is even, he's even able to raise him up. And he took Abraham to Mount Moriah. And people say, well, that was a great sign, a symbolic of Christ, how Isaac took the wood on his back and carried. Not really. Because the type of Christ is not Isaac. The type of Christ is the ram, which is the substitute in the bushes. And Abraham took the knife ready to take his life when the angel of God said, "Wait, stop." But Abraham believed God. He said, "God promised me an heir. He promised me a son, and he promised through this son." And he said, "Take your son, thine only son." He wasn't talking about Ishmael. He's talking about Isaac. He said, "Take your only son." And he said, "I know God well enough to know." Now I ask you this: Do you trust God? I mean, listen, if we could tap into it, nobody's stronger than God. Nobody's smarter than God. Nobody is richer than God. And Abraham was the friend of God. Man, this guy had it going on. He knew what he was doing. So many times we are, and the Bible said very clearly, he said, don't be friends with the world. He said, if you're friends with the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Now, I ask you something, folks. Who's your best friend? Would you be the friend of God? Real friendship is based on truth. Real friendship is based on trust. Real friendship is based on tolerance. Now think about it. When Abraham came to Egypt, his wife Sarah was a good-looking woman. And he said, "Sarah, you're a fair woman to look upon. You're a beautiful woman." He said, "When we get there, just don't." Now Abraham's such a coward. He said, "Let's don't tell him that you're my wife. Tell him you're my sister." What a sorry excuse for a man that he would offer up his wife for his own hide. And the Pharaoh of Egypt said, "Abraham, what are you doing?" And by the way, Abraham passed on that same lie to his son Isaac. Isaac did the same thing. Fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. And I'm telling you tonight, God could have absolutely said, "You know what, I'm sick of Abraham. He lied, he did wrong. I'm going to get rid of him. I can't believe he's doing like he's doing." But instead, God loved him and he showed some tolerance. I'm so glad that God doesn't give us what we deserve. Because every one of us in here deserve to die and go to hell. Every one of us in here deserve to die and go to a devil's hell because we nailed him to the cross because of our sin. But I'm so glad that he loves me. Real friendship is based on tolerance. I know that my wife puts up a lot with me been married to me. You look at me and think, well, man, he's got it going on. I'm telling you, it ain't going on all the time in the right direction. You're not going to believe this. Sometimes I get ill. I don't believe it either, but I'm just preaching right now. Some of y'all are thinking, my wife, she sure is lucky. Well, she is. But real friendship is based on tolerance. Anybody in here feel my pain? My wife and her cell phone do not get along. It rings and rings and rings. When she finally finds it, it's already quit ringing. Then when she finally does get it and call somebody, about halfway through the call, it goes dead because she didn't charge it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I was telling my wife the other day, I was in Siler City, North Carolina, a couple of years ago preaching. It was right before the service. We pulled into McDonald's and got some McDonald's. My wife, she's so much classier than I am and so much sharper, and she dresses to the nines. She's the belle of the ball. I mean, she just, and I call her the queen all the time, and I'm just bragging on her. She's telling me just, oh, would you stop? We're riding down the road. She's eating French fries. She always eats two French fries at a time. You know, guys take the box, and we just scarf them down, you know. We want to get the salt and everything, you know. And she's got two, and she sticks her baby finger out while she eats French fries. It's something to see. And we pulled up to red light, and I said, sweetheart, even you are the bomb. You got it going on. The way you dress, the way you act, the way you walk, the way you do. I mean, you're just a class act. She said, would you stop? I said, even the way you eat French fries, it's always two at a time. Your little finger stuck out. When I said that, she was going to take French fries and throw them at her face. We're at a red light. She's just throwing them at her. Ah! And French fries going in the back seat. I mean, I'm looking at her. And finally, she looked to the right, and there's a guy on the other side going, I rolled down the window and I said, she's a hungry girl from Alabama. We were sitting in our den not too long ago, and the phone rang in the house. I was asleep in my chair. My daughter was asleep in her chair, and my wife sleeps like the three bears. We're all asleep in our chairs. And my wife woke up out of a dead sleep. I don't know what it is. The first thing she does when she wakes up out of sleep, she starts patting her hair. Somebody's going to look at her hair. I love doing this kind of stuff and watching him. He's got to do it all. He's supposed to tell them everything I'm saying, right? We sure have a good-looking preacher tonight. I think he just told a story. I really do. I don't know. Anyway, the phone rang. My wife woke up out of a dead sleep, reached up and picked up the TV remote and said, hello? Hello? She said, looked at me, she said, this stupid thing won't work. I'm just looking at her. She said, hello, and it wouldn't answer. So instead of getting the right thing, she takes the remote and bangs it against the coffee table. Hello, and I said, good night. You know, real friendship is based on tolerance. See, because I got to ride all the way back to Atlanta with her getting on to me about telling this. In fact, when I go back, I'll probably go back by myself. If y'all could send her back to me, I'd appreciate it. Real friendship is based on tolerance. How many times do we have to put up with each other? The other day, I was going to preach somewhere, and I told my wife, I said, sweetheart, quick, I've got to have a shirt. I've got to have my shirt. Where is it? And she said, I ironed it. It's on the bedpost. I said, I can't find it. And she came in, and she started looking. We're running through the house. I said, I've got to go. Where's my shirt? And we're just panicked. She finally said, Dave, stop. I said, what? She said, look. And I said, look where? She said, what do you have on? I said, oh, there it is. You know, we have to put up with all kind of things. Miss Brandon, we've never had a chance to talk, but I guarantee you can tell stories, things you've had to put up with through the years. And Mrs. Bundy, if there is a Mrs. Bundy, I'm telling you what, there's a book somewhere. When she gets to heaven, she's going to get some kind of reward. Listen to me. Real friendship is based on tolerance. Finally, real friendship is based on time. The pages of the calendar just have to turn. I've got a friend in South Carolina. We've been friends since college. We've been friends for over 30 years. He's what I call my low maintenance friend. I don't have to call him all the time. You know, you got some friends you've got to stroke constantly. You've got to keep patting them on the back. You got to keep being, you know, stroking them, just letting them know everything's up. Other friends, my buddy, we can pick up the phone and not talk for a year and pick up right where we left. I love friends like that. I love low maintenance people. I don't have anybody like that in my church, but I love people like that. I ask you tonight, who's your best friend? The pages of the calendar, my buddy and I have been friends for years. His 10-year-old little girl I buried years ago from leukemia. He hugged my neck that day, and every time we see each other, we're still friends. One time, his little girl's named Lindsay, and I said, and he's got a girl named Kayla and a girl named Grant. The little girl named Lindsay died. I said, Mark, how is Grant doing, his son? He said, he's doing fine. I said, how's Lindsay doing? I said, Mark, I'm so sorry. I meant to say Kayla. I am so sorry. He said, Dave, that's all right. He said, she's still my daughter. He said, we're not going to forget about her. She's still, he said, we'll see her again. He said, that's all right. And I felt embarrassed, but he helped me. He corrected me. He said, that's all right. He said, she's still part of our family. My mother and I were close friends. I miss her. My dad and I were the best of friends. He's in heaven now. I know I'll see him again. My wife is my second best friend next to Jesus. If I didn't go a day and not talk to her, not tell her I loved her, not tell her I appreciated her. You know, I've heard the old joke about a guy that got married 40 years ago. So I told her I loved her. If I ever changed, I'd tell her different. That won't work. That's not even a good joke. Us men, we can laugh, but they don't laugh. She expects me to tell her I love her. I want to tell her I love her. Now, don't get in the wrong habit of all the time just saying love you, love you. We say it all the time, you know, love you. And you got to be careful because I had one time on, you know, we hang up the phone, love you, hon, love you. I was on the platform one time. We had a man, in the balcony was our sound man. We had a sound system up there in the balcony, which I don't suggest because it gives a different sound, but that's the way the building was made. And Sunday morning, there was a big ringing going on, and his name was James. He always stuck his tongue out. I looked back there, and James was back there, and like the screaming, the ring was going on. He wasn't even looking. So finally, I just picked up the phone on the platform, and I called back there. I said, James, there's a ring going on. Can you do something? He said, yes, sir, I'll get it. I said, all right, we can take care of it. This is Sunday morning now. I said, all right, take care of it. Love you. Bye. And I hung the phone up. I'm looking at the floor, and I said, did I just tell James I loved him? Which I do, but I don't want to tell him. And it seemed like eternity. It must have been 30 seconds. I looked at the floor. Finally, I looked up, and he went. You know what? My wife and I have been married 30 years in just a few days. A lot of water has been under the bridge. A few times she's held me under it. Do you know what we've done? We're friends. But what makes us even better friends, we have common ground because we have the same friend. Same Jesus. I love him with all my heart. He loves me. She loves him. I spend time with him every day. I read about him every day. He talks to me. Just like my wife expects me to tell her I love her, expects me to put my arms around her and kiss her and tell her how much I appreciate her, I think God expects the same thing. I ask you tonight, best thing you can do for this preacher right here is be a friend of God. Best thing you can do if you're a visiting church member, best thing you do for your church is be the friend of God. Best thing you can do for your life is to be God's friend. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness and he was called the friend of God. Do you know of anything better? Well, he sure is a good preacher. He sure is a good singer. Well, he sure can do this or he can do... Could you know of anything that could be greater said about you than somebody say, hey, so-and-so, he's God's friend. Of all the things he said about Abraham, the patriarch, the man where it all started, more so than David, more so than Moses, more so than Jacob or Isaac, more so than John the Baptist. And God said, John the Baptist, there's none been born greater, born of woman than John the Baptist. But Abraham was called the friend of God. Huh. Greatest things ever been said. He was God's friend. I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a moment. We can laugh and we can talk and we can have fun, but let's get right down to it. I wonder how many could say, preacher, I could be a better